Get your Bibles. Let's look in John chapter 8. You'll need your Bibles open because we're going to talk about that time whenever Jesus had so thoroughly answered the Jews, they didn't have a leg to stand on. You ever been in that situation? Did your parents ever find out something that you'd done and they called you in and called you on the carpet? It may have happened in a school situation. Went to the principal's office and he knows ahead of time everything you're going to say. And every time you try to open your mouth, he's already got the answer. And every time you make an argument, he's already got the answer. I really believe one of the evidences of the deity of Jesus is the, and it's illustrated in this chapter. John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25 said, he didn't need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So here he is trying to talk to these Jews in John chapter 8. And it's really, really a remarkable thing that we're going to spend a lot of time just not only in John chapter 8 in verse 30, but all the way through the end of this chapter. And so we got a lot of ground to cover and you need your Bibles open. So if you don't have that pew Bibles or don't have your own Bibles, pick up that pew Bibles. Les, I believe you said on page 948, and I trust you in relationship to that. And page 948, let's get our Bibles out. Let's look at what happened. Look at what's happening in this text. Look at the background of this text. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, there is no hope for anybody to be saved if they don't believe in me. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? In John chapter 14, is he not going to say in verse 6, John 14 verse 6, that I'm the way, I'm the way, the truth, the life, all of those words singular, singular way, singular life, singular truth, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And so here Jesus is out before all of the Jews, and he says, you guys need to understand who's here. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And he says some things that are really, really very direct in relationship to this. But look at verse 31 and verse 30 and 31. The Bible says, as he spake these words, many believed in him. Then spake Jesus to those Jews who believed in him. And so here we have a situation of Jesus speaking the Word of God, and since faith comes from hearing the Word of God, they heard what he said. And they believed in him. Now we sort of say this in passing, but it's really important for us to realize that the doctrine that the moment you believe in Jesus, at that very instant you're saved, is disproved by this very chapter. In fact, I know of no chapter in the Bible that is clearer in showing the idea that the very moment you believe, you are saved than this very chapter. How do we know? Well, here's a test case. They hear Jesus preaching, and whenever they hear what Jesus says as he speaks these words, they believed in him. Now, some individuals have misunderstood what's involved in faith, and especially the faith of John chapter 3 and verse 16 that says, whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, the whole idea that when somebody read that verse, they'll turn around and say, see, the very instant you believe, you're saved. Let's see if that's true. They believed in him. How do you know that? That's what it says. John chapter 8 verse 30 says, they believed in him. Verse 31 says, he said to those Jews who believed in him, and look at the rest of verse 31, you got to abide in what I say. He says, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A disciple, somebody that is a learner. So they're listening to Jesus. They've become learners of Jesus. But Jesus says more is involved in your relationship to God than just believing in me. Here's my word, and you must abide in my words. Well, it's obvious whenever he says, you shall know the truth, verse 32, and the truth shall make you free. They answered and said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. They looked at a historical relationship, and they looked at there just the history of that nation, and it's amazing how you rewrite history. They said, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Well, you want to talk about Egyptian captivity? You want to talk about them being down in Egypt? You want to talk about the 70 years that they had been over in Babylon? You want to talk about the period of the judges whenever the nations came away and they took taxation and put burdens upon the Jews? You want to talk about the period of the divided kingdom when tribute was taken, even the gold was taken out of the temple and given as tribute to the pagans? We've never been in bondage to anybody. But the amazing thing is that while they ignored his teachings about freedom, they sought salvation by their heritage. Look again at this text. They said in verse 32, we are Abraham's descendants. What does that say? We don't need the freedom, Lord. Whatever you're talking about, abiding in your words, and then we'll be made free, and we'll indeed be your disciples, and we'll be made free. They said, we don't need that. Why? Because we have Abraham as our father. It's ironic that some individuals think they're righteous because they've got a mama and a daddy that's righteous. Teens, I want to tell you something. You're not righteous because you got mamas and daddies who are righteous. Personal. And you who are older, you're not righteous because you can say, well, I'm a third generation member of the Lord's church. So? What does that have to do with anything? We are descendants of Abraham, and because we have the blood of Abraham inside of us, we're all right with God. John the Baptist recognized this in Matthew chapter 3. Whenever he talked to these same nation, to the Jewish nation, and when they came out to be baptized of John, and he was talking to them about repentance, and he said to those individuals who were trusting in the fact that they had a heritage in Judaism, he said, think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. You know what John is trying to say? You need to understand the Messiah is coming. You need to repent and turn to this Messiah, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And stop saying, I'm righteous because we're sons of Abraham. He said to them, there's no difference in you and this pile of rocks over here. Many of you have heard me tell stories about Brother Marshall Keeble, the most, as far as I know, successful preacher that there's been, you know, on this earth in the last several hundred years. He baptized 50,000 people into the Lord's church in a period of 50 years of preaching. You want to do the math on that? 50,000 people in 50 years is 1,000 people a year. You want to do the math on how many that is every day? Brother Keeble had a way of saying something you would never, ever, ever forget it. Brother Keeble was black. And for that heritage, for that reason, I wish I were black. I wish I could say, you know, that's my heritage. Brother Keeble would say something in ways you'd never, ever forget. Let me tell you what he said. Discussing Matthew 3, think not to say we have Abraham as our father because God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Brother Keeble said, have you ever met anybody who thought they were really better than you were because they got more education than you? You ever met anybody that thought they were better than you are because they had more money than you? Brother Keeble says, you got to put this in focus. The Bible tells us God made man of the dust of the ground, and science tells us that man is 90% water. Dust and water put together, you know what that is? That's mud. He said, this fellow that's all rich and everything, got more education than you, he ain't nothing but a mud ball with a necktie on. That's what John was saying. And whenever they said, We don't need this freedom. We have Abraham as our father. He says we're descendants of Abraham. And then he says, if you want to understand about this, you need to understand that the freedom that I'm talking about is the freedom from sin. And that's why in verse 34 he talks about being slaves of sin. But there's an interesting play on words. Look in verse 33. We are Abraham's descendants. Look in verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. But look in verse 39. If you were Abraham's children. Play on words, isn't it? We're descendants of Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham. And he says, but you're not Abraham's children. And the whole emphasis in this very passage is the emphasis of like father, like son. Look whenever he says, if you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. That's in verse 37. Verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. That's remarkable, isn't it? Now, wait a minute. What were they doing? Let's see. You seek to kill me. Oh, so Abraham didn't seek to kill anybody. That's right. Look a little bit later in the sermon whenever he said that I am telling you the truth. And he said, I am the one who is telling you the truth. And if I didn't tell you the truth that I am the Son of God, look in verse 55. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I'll be a liar like you are. They're liars and they're murderers. Like father, like son. Look in verse 42 whenever he says, you're not Abraham's children, and neither is God were your father, because if God were your father, you would love me. I came forth from the Father, and nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And if you were children of God, you'd accept that. Wait a minute. I thought the moment you believed that you were a child of God. That's what's said. Do these people believe? Yes, that's what the text says. Verse 30, they believed on him. Verse 31, he spake to those Jews that believed on him. And he says, if God were your father. Look at verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your fathers you want to do. Wait a minute, what's the devil like? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. You know what he's saying in verse 44? The devil told that lie in the Garden of Eden, did he not? No truth in him. You eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. And that's what the Lord said. And the devil said, you'll not die. There's no truth in him. The devil is a liar, and the devil is the first murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, you want to talk about what you're like? You're like Abraham? No, you're not at all like Abraham. Like father, like son, you are liars and you're murderers. You're like your father. That's the devil. And by the way, he's the first murderer because he killed spiritually Adam and Eve. Sometimes we talk about the first murderer in the Bible, and we use that in reference to physical death. And in that sense, Cain was the first murderer. He killed his brother, but there was a murder before him, and that is the devil killing Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden spiritually. It is remarkable, is it not, where Jesus says, your actions show who your father is. And so you immediately see salvation is not by faith alone. Now then, you're one of the Jews, what are you going to say? How can you deny the very thing that he's answered here in relationship to this? There is no answer. Jesus has anticipated everything they're going to say, and he's dealt with it all. Well, how are they going to answer it? Well, they said to him, look, he's in verse 40, in verse 41, they said to him, we were not born of fornication. we have one Father, God. And then again they said to him in verse 48, did we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? It may be that they have a hidden message in this passage. You ever know anybody that made a statement, there was a hidden message in what they said? Now in the context, they're talking about God is our Father. And so they said, we're not born of fornication. In other words, you know, God is our Father and therefore we're children of God. We have a legitimate relationship with God. But then they said, did we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan? Why would they say that about Jesus? Is it possible that whenever they heard about Jesus, they sought and of where he came from? And is it possible that as they investigated Jesus, they found out about Mary being pregnant before she was married? And while they're saying the words, we are not of fornication, there may be a double message that says, you are. And we're true blue Jews, but we don't know about you because we know that you have a demon. We're the descendants of Abraham, was their answer. You are a Samaritan. You have a demon. That's found in verse 48. And then, having mentioned this matter of Abraham, they said, you are not greater than Abraham. Verse 33, he says, we're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. Then he says, a little bit later, he says, surely you're not greater than Abraham was. We'll look at that a little bit later as we get a little bit farther into this chapter. But whenever he says to them, well, look in verse 53, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And are you greater than the prophets? Who do you make yourself out to be? You're trying to get us to follow you and to believe you. You know, you're nothing. You're not as good as Abraham. We don't want to be followers of you. We're followers of Abraham. And he's already answered that. No, you're not. You do the works of Abraham. But then he says, let me tell you this. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That's in verse 56. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. Abraham saw the day of Jesus? Yes. How had that happen? In thy seed, Genesis chapter 12 said, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And I will multiply you and your descendants, and your descendants will be like the stars of the heaven, like the sands on the seashore. But in amongst all of those descendants, there is a singular one. Not in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed, but in your seed. Galatians 3 says, that word is singular. And so when God said, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, it was not a proclamation that through the Jewish nation all the families of the earth were going to be blessed, but through one descendant. And when Abraham saw that, he thought, I can hardly wait till that descendant of mine comes. He saw my day, and he rejoiced. It may be that God gave Abraham some other message, but what God gave to him whenever he said, in one of your descendants, in one singular descendant, all of the mankind is going to be blessed, and that thrilled Abraham. And they said to him, that's impossible. Look in verse 57, whenever he said, they said, you're not 50 years old. How on earth could that have been? And we'll look at Jesus' answers to all of these in just a minute. But look at the last response they gave, verse 59. they took up stones. The old King James says to stone him. They sought to kill him. Back in the previous chapter, in chapter 7, verse 20, he says, the people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? And yet that the rest of that chapter, they were trying to arrest him so they could get rid of him. And they took up stones to throw at him. That's their response to the word. If you cannot answer the messenger, the message, attack the messenger. And that's exactly what they did. There's no answer to all of these things that he said. But look how he answers their answers. Look at Jesus' answer to their answer. Their answer was, two of them, we know our hair origin, and we are the descendants of Abraham. You know how Jesus answered that? Your works show your origin. He answered that by saying, you are liars and you are like your father, and you are murderers like your father. Now, if it's true, the axiom, we are like father, like son, and that's your argumentation, Abraham was acceptable to God, and we're the children of Abraham, like father, like son, therefore we are acceptable to Abraham. He says, look at the works. You're not children of Abraham. You're murderers and liars. Abraham was not a murderer. Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. But there is one who is the father of those who are murderers and liars, and that is Satan. You remember that bracelet that came from years ago? Many of you are too young to remember that bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What about WWDD? What did the devil do? Murders and liars. And he has, by that very argumentation, wiped out every argument they made in reference to their origin and to be the descendants of Abraham. But he says, you are a Samaritan. Well, in verse 14, look how Jesus dealt with the fact that I am not a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from and you don't know where I'm going. And so whenever he begins to say, you think I'm a Samaritan, that's not my origin. My origin is I have been sent from the Father. I'm not a Samaritan. And in reference to this argumentation, you know, that I am a Samaritan, you need to understand that I do the works of God. I claim to be the Son of God, and God honors me. A Samaritan? No. One who was there in the beginning with God. Look in verse 54. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that He is your God. Your God is the one who doesn't believe I'm a Samaritan. The Father knows where I came from. I know where I came from. I've told you where I came from. And God honors me with all of the miracles that He allows me to do. Well, what about this matter about you have a demon? Jesus, how are you going to answer this statement that said you have a demon? Well, verse 49, the implication is demons do not honor God. Verse 48, do we not rightly say that you are Samaritan, you have a demon? Jesus said, I do not have a demon. And here's the reason. I honor God. What's the implication? Demons would never honor God. They're demonic. and here I am living before you. How can you say that I have a demon when all I'm doing on this earth is bringing glory and honor to God? There's no answer to that. They tried to answer what Jesus said about freedom and about salvation and about Him being the way, the truth, and the life and all of these other things. And whenever they couldn't do that, they came and attacked His character and they said, well, you're demonic. He said, that's insane. Demons do not honor God, but I honor God. Then they make two arguments. You are not greater than Abraham, verse 33, and you're not yet 50 years old. How do you answer that? Well, look at Jesus' answer to it, and you'll actually be really amazed. Verse 57, they said, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? He said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. How's that? Oh, these 50 years you're talking, oh, you're talking about my age while I'm on this earth. But I was back there in the days of Abraham because before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was a was, and before the was existed, the am was there. Before Abraham was, I am. But I want you to think about the significance of that in verse 59. Before Abraham was, I am. Is that anywhere else found in the Bible? Do you know anywhere else the I am is spoken of in the Bible? Genesis chapter 3 at the burning of bush. What name shall, when the people say, what is His name? You go back and you say to them, the name of the God that is leading you out of the land of Egypt is the I am. I am that I am. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus says, I am the I am. I'm not an angel. The Jehovah's Witness idea that God needed somebody to die for mankind, so He created a special angel to come and die for us. That's not who died for us. It's not that the Father was made flesh, but deity made flesh, was made flesh. It's not an angel came on this earth. It was deity that came on this earth. Before Abraham was, I am. And whenever you read that in verse 58, then when He claimed to be the I am, they took up stones. They knew what He was saying. Still got your Bible open? Look back in verse 24. Jesus says to them, I say unto you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. You want to look at that word He? It's in italics. Do you know why in the King James and the New King James, do you understand what italics indicate? It means the word is not there in the original. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. And file that away as you read the book of John, because over and over in the book of John, Jesus says, I am, but the He is in italics. If you believe not that I am He, why is it in there? That I am the I am. Which brings us to a realization that a virgin conceived and brought forth a son, and they called him Emmanuel. What does that mean? Not an angel with us, not an archangel with us, but the I Am is with us. And so when the I Am, when deity came and was on this earth, God the Father, God the Son, perhaps it helps us understand it better. But when deity was on this earth, the I Am that was on the earth, when they said, show us the Father, and he says, look at me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no difference in the nature of God the Father and the nature of God the Son, and thereby the nature of God the Holy Spirit. What a remarkable chapter. You like John 8? There's a lot of great depths to be found in this chapter. Think about it. Read about it. Read it again sometime this week. And you can go all the way back to the beginning of the chapter if we just didn't have time to go and go through the first 29 verses. A lot of good stuff in the first 29 verses. Jesus is the Son of God. And let me tell you, Jesus wants you in heaven. But you're not going to be there unless you believe in Him. That's what He said. Except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. You don't want to die in your sins, do you? Then you need to believe in Jesus, but then continue in His Word. What do you need? You need to repent. That's what these folks were not willing to do. They wanted to believe in Jesus, but they wanted that pile of rocks that was there. And He said, that's not what it's all about. It's a turning away from self and a turning to God. And then whenever you've confessed that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be baptized into Him. And that's where you want to be, isn't it? Not in the world, not in the devil, but in Christ. And that's what you need to do. And the amazing thing is, when you do that, He adds you to this great family called the church, spiritual family. And then to those of us who have already done that, He says, you need to be faithful. And to Christians, whenever Christians do wrong, Christians don't need to be baptized again. They're children of God, and they just need to say to God, I am sorry. And sometimes their life has been a stumbling block, and they need to say to their brethren, I'm coming back to the Lord. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?